A reading from the Gospel according to John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing.
Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul in because there were so many fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off.
When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
As one of you noticed, this is the third time that Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection, and we are now in the third week after Easter. And I'm aware that we have many pastors here who may have just preached on this text yesterday. You're going to get to hear another sermon. There is so much in this text. There are so many possibilities. Talking about all the fish that is caught, the abundance that the Lord sends us forth. Mission, 153 fish, right? Jesus's meal that he has prepared for them, welcoming them ashore. But what I really want to focus on tonight is the second part of the reading about Jesus's dialogue with Peter. Because I think it's there that we see real possibility for healing. And healing that God extends to us as well. So in order to understand this, we have to remember that this is the first time that Peter is talking directly with Jesus since before his betrayal and death, since that night up in the upper room at the Last Supper, their last meal together, where Peter in his eagerness says, I want to follow you wherever you are going, Lord. And Jesus says, I don't think you really know what that means. And before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Right? So Peter says, I will lay down my life for you. And what does he do? As he follows Jesus after he's arrested and being interrogated by the religious authorities, he's standing around a charcoal fire. It's the only two places in the Gospel of John where that word is used, charcoal fire, and the parallelism is intentional. As he is standing around that charcoal fire, he denies Jesus three times. And then the cock crows. And I can so relate to this shame that Peter must have felt. So many times in our own lives where we fail to live up to our expectations for ourselves, where we fail to do the things that we have promised we will do, where we fail to be the people that we know God wants us to be. And Peter was living with that from the time of that night until this morning. So often when we feel that kind of shame, we want to run away from the people who remind us of it. We want to separate ourselves from them, but they're the very people who can help us, the very people who can lead us back to God's love and forgiveness. And Peter, I'm sure, Peter wanted to run away from the disciples, right? He had fallen short of what he thought it meant to follow Jesus, but he also couldn't run away from that life that he had experienced in Jesus. Last week, I preached about what is that life that comes through believing in his name, that eternal, abundant, divine life. And that draws Peter back. Draws him back to the disciples, and then when he hears that it is his Lord on the shore, he dives overboard and swims as fast as he can to fall at the feet of Jesus once again. And then that morning, as they gather around that charcoal fire, the first time that he's seen Jesus again since he betrayed him, since he denied him, Jesus gives Peter an opportunity to ritually reenact that denial, and this time instead affirm his love for Jesus. Jesus asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter affirms, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Three times. You know, we human beings are constantly seeking affirmation, right? And like my whole life is an attempt to have people tell me, I love you, right? Constantly asking, do you love me? And when people do that to us, sometimes we get frustrated, right? If a spouse or a family member or even a friend asks you too many times, do you love me? You start to say, don't you trust me? You know, like, how many times do I have to tell you? Isn't, like, once a day enough, right? And so here, Peter, of course, is frustrated that Jesus is asking him this three times. But what we have to understand here is that Jesus is not asking this for himself. As Peter says, Lord, you know everything. Jesus knows that he loves him. Jesus doesn't ask this to confirm whether or not he loves him. This conversation is for Peter. And that's how it always works with God. God continually reaches out to us, and God gives us these opportunities for us. Think about what we're doing together tonight. What are we doing? We're worshiping God. But why are we doing this? We're not doing this for God. That might sound provocative, but it's actually very orthodox, because all of this is God's gift for us. Right? When we confess our faith, when we say Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, that's not to prove something to God. That's for us. That's to shape and form us in this way of being and living and doing. When we sing songs of praise, we're not teaching God something. We're teaching ourselves something. And when we cling to Jesus and believe in his name, we do that not because it gives him power. It's not like a representative democracy where you have to get enough votes if you want to become the president, right? No, when we believe in Jesus, that is God's gift to us. That is what gives us power and life and love. All of this is God's gift to us. That's why Jesus asks Peter to affirm his love for him, to give him an opportunity to live into that reality, not to prove something, but to open up the possibilities for Peter of new life. And then look what Jesus does. After Peter affirms this, Jesus commissions Peter to lead his church. Jesus takes the one who had denied him and lifts him up to serve others, to heal the world. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. That's what God does. God picks really unlikely people. That's why you and I are all here tonight. Because God has chosen us, the broken, the sinful, the weary, the doubting, the confused. God has chosen us to be healed and then to go out and heal others, to share this message of good news in this life that we receive in Jesus. Of course, that life is not always easy. Being chosen is not always fun. We are given certain burdens that we would rather not carry. Because the way of following Jesus is actually the way of the cross. Our reading ends with Jesus telling Peter about the kind of death he will die. Life, in Jesus' name, does not mean that we will live in this world forever. It does not mean that we will be necessarily materially blessed, that we will have fame or status or power in this world. It's about a deeper kind of life, a life that is animated by the Spirit, a life where we walk that path with Christ, that path of the cross. But the cross leads to resurrection and new life. And as our first reading tonight said, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The good news in this passage is that God keeps coming to us. God keeps giving us these moments to shape us and form us. God calls us into community. God calls us to places where we can be shaped and formed into people who love him, into people who love him and serve our neighbors, into people who follow the way of the cross, into the way of new life.